Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I am so delighted to be here today, and I'm so happy that you're tuning in and joining us. The Sandy Brewer Show is a call-in talk radio show, and we are absolutely all about getting to the heart of what matters in your life. We're also very user-friendly. I've been a counselor in private practice for over 35 years, and I use my intuitive insights to get to the core, the heart of what matters in your life. So trust me, you're in good, safe hands, not a Dr. Laura in sight. Help us get the conversation started today. Give us a call, 800-930-2819, or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. We love hearing from you. Our mics are always open. No question or subject is off limits. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. And because life is all about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers or emailers with an on-air question will receive an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light. It's a compelling memoir. You'll like it. It's inspirational, and it won 3 literary awards. And today, it's our thank you to you for participating in our show. And my good friend, Mary Beth, the amazing, fabulous woman that I've known for 20-some years, Emmy Award-winning lyricist. Hi, Mary Beth. How are you today?
Hi, Sandy.
You know,
I'm great.
Really,
how are you?
I'm great, too. Thanks. So we've got two greats going so far. And I'm also excited today because my friend Dan Callahan, who has an addictive recovery group, it's called Solutions Recovery Center in Boca Raton, has his entire group listening to our show live today. So welcome, guys. We're glad you're here. And I see already in our virtual little waiting room, if there is such a thing, we have a caller, Rebecca from Los Angeles.
Hi.
We have my husband. Hi. Hi, Rebecca. You're
Hi.
On the air.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's one of those things I don't quite know how to articulate it, but I'm hoping you can help me.
Okay.
It seems like a really sort of big subject. I don't really know how to break it down really easily. But I feel like there's been this anger towards my father that I can basically I understand on an intellectual level why I'm angry at my dad, and I understand why he is the way he is, and I've grown a lot from that understanding, and I feel like I've moved forward in a lot of ways. However, I can't get past the anger. And I feel like at this point in my life, like I've done so much work on myself that I should just be able to be like, I'm the bigger person. I totally get why you are the way you are. And I have compassion for you. And I thank you for all the amazing things that you've gifted me in my life. But for some reason, I just can't get over the anger. And I guess the question is, like, I don't know how to move forward from there.
Well, anger is a really intense emotion. So we understand that thoroughly. Honey, what do you think it is that inspires the anger? What specific thing will trigger you or trip your wire? Is it his behavior or his attitude or his tone?
It's the idea that, like, a lot of my life he's been very sort of controlling, and I feel like I'm now dating someone that he may not be so crazy about, and I feel I don't know how to articulate it. I just feel like so much of my life has been controlled by what he wants.
So let's just look at the control, because control, honey, takes on almost a life of its own. It's like there's this troll under the bridge, you know, that keeps coming up and stealing your lunch money. And I feel that that might be a little bit of what's going on with your dad, as far as you're concerned, that when he doesn't, and maybe it's triggered by you have a boyfriend now that he doesn't agree with. I take it you're of adult age, right? You're not a kid at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so definitely. A woman of an appropriate age has her own life, has her own boyfriend, and her dad is giving some, for whatever reason, it doesn't meet his picture or his bias for what he thinks you should be doing with your life. And then that kind of monster, that troll under the bridge, comes up and out and takes on a life of its own. And his controlling and his tone impacts you. And instead of being, can you tell me how old you are, hon?
I'm 30.
So instead of being a beautiful, energetically and in all ways, 30-year-old, instead of being this woman that you undoubtedly are, you go back into 10 or 12 or 8, and your father's tone and approval or disapproval has a power over you. Does that make sense for you?
Yeah, that does. I guess what I am angry about is I don't understand why it still does. Like what you said, I'm 30 years old. Like this, on an intellectual level, this all sounds very ridiculous to me, but I can't seem to move forward from it.
It's really hard, honey, when we get frustrated with ourselves, because then we go into self-judgment and we almost divert ourselves. We sidetrack ourselves and we've changed the topic. Instead of looking at that place of control that seems to have power over us, we divert ourselves from looking whatever it is that we truly fear straight in the eye, and we move over and have a diversion. Now you can just hate yourself, and then you never have to deal with this bugger scares you when he gets all you know, built up like the Incredible Hulk or something. That comes at you and triggers a neural net inside of you. And you want him to be different in order for you to be okay. What I'm suggesting to you is that you need to, all of us, whatever our fears are, we need to look our fear square in the eye and learn how to dismantle it, how to take the power away from it. There was a time in your life where your father's attitude and polarity and dominance did control you because you were a little girl. But now at 30, I think what you need to do is look the fear of what he represents, of what that energy of I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down if you don't do it my way, what that represents to you. So, honey, what do you think that represents to you?
I don't if he gets upset, what does that mean, you mean, for me?
Yeah, what does that connect you to? Because we always, you know, we get into some issue today, we want to think that we're this deeply affected by what's going on today. And occasionally that's true. But for the most part, what we're affected by is the neurological connector of our history that's being triggered by what's happening today. Do you understand what I just said?
Yeah. I guess okay, I just so, feel like I don't know if the way you just worded it, it just kind of feels like, I don't know, it feels like if almost if my dad doesn't approve of stuff, it's like I'm not okay.
That makes total sense. So the way your dad behaves, it makes you feel like you're not okay. Do you think that thought process comes from the 30-year-old woman or an 8-year-old girl?
I'm hoping an 8-year-old girl enough. Not my
3-year-old self. I take a look on the 8-year-old girl, and I'm not a gambler, okay? So, So that's how we have to separate, to be able to say, okay, it looks like I'm angry at my dad today, and I'm not asking you for 5 seconds to agree with him. I'm just saying that the level that it shakes you up, that really comes from an old place where you are psychologically, maybe certainly neurologically, still connected to the trauma or anxiety that having someone who can huff and puff and blow your house down with, living with somebody who can do that to you. And so when you get that nervous, jerky, I'm afraid he doesn't approve of me place, the courage is to separate that thought that from a greater truth. So you have the thought that my father's upset with me, so I must not have value. That's just kind of a knee-jerk reaction that one gets into. And the hard part is your body will be hormonally imbalanced in that moment, and you will be feeling that lack of value, having thought, having feeling. And especially in our society, we've been trained to think if I have a thought and a feeling, I have a truth. But no, you don't. You have a thought and a feeling. You just have a chemical reaction going on in your body. Do you understand? So the courage is to be able to ask yourself and to be able to say that this thought and this feeling isn't based on that at 30, I need my father to approve of me in order for me to be okay. That's an old point of view that represents not who I am, but a place through which I traveled as a child. Because, honey, we are not our experiences. We are the wisdom, we draw the wisdom from our experiences, but our experiences are simply places through which we traveled. Most of us go through these difficult times, and as children, we take it on, and then we hold that energy, which actually has a physiological component to it, and we think that somehow, some way, we're not enough because our dad or our mom or our grandfather or the guy across the street behaved in a specific manner that made us feel unsafe. Do you see?
Yeah.
How do you feel about what I'm saying?
I hear you. So basically, like, we're in this situation, like, when I see my father and I feel a certain amount of anger towards him, I approach it as I have a higher truth, you mean, about all of that. Is that?
Yeah, you do. Let me give you a quick example, and I hope that it will work for you. When I was a kid, I had a very traumatic life, but when I was 4, I did something that I should not, that a 4-year-old should not have done, right? But my mother controlled everything in my house, and when he came home that evening, she deliberately unleashed him. So he came into my room and started beating me and beating me and beating me with a belt until finally I found a way to spontaneously get out of my body. And that night, honey, I started having a nightmare, which recurred on a regular basis for the next 8 years. And in that nightmare, a train would chase me. It would start out in front of my house, and it would just, this big old steel locomotive would chase me down the block, turn left at a corner, right at another. And at the end of the dream, I would always end up on the alley behind my house, and I'd wake up in a pool of sweat. And there was nobody I could turn to my home, so I would just, like, you know, shake and shiver until I could settle down and go back to sleep. When I was 12, I had that dream for the last time. And it started the exact same way. Out in front of my house, this big old locomotive chasing me down the street, left at one corner, right at the other, do a U-ey practically, and end up in the alley behind my house. Only that night in my dream, I turned around as this big engine was bearing down on me. I turned around and planted my little 12-year-old feet and looked up at this locomotive coming at me. And you know how dreams are, these kind of dreams are so real when you're having them, that I was almost choking on the acrid smell of this train coming down on me. And I looked at this thing and I said, I'm not running anymore. If you're going to get me, you get me now. and I drew what I absolutely knew was my last breath. And what happened was at the moment of impact, the train became transparent, amorphous like a cloud, and it passed through me, and I remained of substance. And I never had that dream again, but I never forgot it. And as I got older, I began to understand what a great wisdom I was given, that for the rest of my life, if when something scares me, I will plant my little feet and turn and look it in the eye and say, I'm not running anymore. You can't have me. You cannot chase me anymore. That which looked so big and so harmful will become transparent, and that which I am will remain of substance. When I think of your father, and I think of and feel with the way that you can on occasion, not I know that this doesn't happen all the time, I can feel that, but on occasion, sure. That you can be chased by him like I was chased by the locomotive, representing the life I couldn't escape and the pain I couldn't escape. And your train, if you will, is the lack of value you couldn't escape. And you turn around, face that sucker, and you say, you can't have me anymore. You're going to clear it up from when you were younger. And your father won't be able to pull your chain in the same way. He doesn't have to change for you to have a different reality, my dear. Wow. Thank you so much for calling. I hope that was helpful to you, honey.
That was so helpful. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. We're going to take a little break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We are really glad you're with us. Give us a call. There's no subject that's off limits. We're happy to talk to you about whatever's in the heart of what goes on or what matters for you. It's 800-930-2819. My good friend Mary Beth is with me today. MB, what'd you think of our caller, of that situation?
Well, I totally related to her, and I think that, you know, it's such an important thing that, I mean, it's such a common thing we all go through that we feel these judgments from people and we don't say anything and we don't, I mean, I don't know if your caller ever expressed her anger to her father or not, but I know in my own case, a lot of the times I don't say anything and I know people, it does build anger and resentment, maybe just boils down to her having stood up and identified who she is to him and maybe some pushback from that control. But at the same time, I know what you're saying, Sandy, that it's so internally fixed within her that it's just sort of her own journey to unravel and get past.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree as an end result, but when we have the, whatever it is, whether it's the troll under the bridge, whether it's the metaphoric train, if we have a fear chasing us, if I don't, from my point of view, everything is internal to external. So if I don't fix that fear in me, then when I confront the situation externally, like Rebecca confronting her dad, then I'll need that person to respond in a specific way in order for me to be okay. So I will, that's a probability, and I won't get the end result. If I have fixed it inside of me, and then I confront it, and I don't have any need for the person to respond in a specific way, I am addressing it because I know that it is important for me to have voice, but not be dependent on the other person has the power. I'm not doing a power play or a power exchange there. Then, no matter how they respond, I'm still okay. And I elevated my own consciousness by not only facing my internal fear, but giving myself the experience of dealing on a pragmatic basis with a difficult situation in a direct manner. So I think it's a two-step process. We didn't get past we had to do the first step first, but I think that's really true. And, you know, one of the things that we want to talk about today is broken communication and how that equals broken relationships. And I was interested, I got drawn to this topic, Mary Beth, a while back when I listened to Oprah Winfrey do an interview with David Letterman. And you know they had that long-running kind of feud.
I heard about that.
Going on. And what I thought was so amazing and really provided the teachable moment in it was at one point in the show, Oprah brought up, do you want to know what I was experiencing? What really happened? And Letterman said, yeah, I don't know. And so she said that it started for her when she was on a guest on his show and she was being heckled by some drunk in the audience, and that during her appearance, that letter from her experience of it was that Letterman kept egging, you know, goading the guy to keep going after her and baiting the heckler, basically. And that subsequently, that put her back, you know, that set her back. And we've all had in some form, you know, maybe not in front of several million viewers, but we've all had the experience of when we felt that somehow, some way we were left hanging out to dry. So then from my perspective, that she just had to find another way to take care of herself. And then what Letterman said was he had no idea what was going on, because we've all been in his shoes too, where we're just like out to lunch. Do you know,
there's
a line that I love from a Henry Winkler Christmas movie, and it's that he was talking about an individual, and he said that individual was dumb as a bag of barber hair. Do you know, so we've all been dumb as a bag of barber hair. And so that he was just unaware. He wasn't paying attention. He was unaware. He was doing his own dumb as a bag of barber hair thing. And so he just thought that what she was reacting to was some kind of a prank he pulled at a restaurant several months later. Mm-hmm. But what I was drawn to was how when we're not able to talk with each other, and this fits the second step of what you were saying when we started chatting a few minutes ago, that if we can just be straight with each other, that we can be able to hold our boundaries, set our boundaries, and connect to the possibilities for what we might take from a situation that was hurtful or painful, and at least be able to say directly to the other person without being in the reaction, but just being in whatever our truth is, without trying to point a finger, but still being clear on what our boundary is here, what we think is acceptable and what we think is not acceptable, that we can present that to the other person, and then they either respond positively or negatively or with total ignorance, because it's not a war. It's just that's how we can try to elevate the conversation.
And actually, I think, Sandy, when you think about it, at least to my thinking, kind of up to us to do that and not assume that everybody's always tuned in to what, you know, to what does affect us and what hurts us if we don't say so. You know, I saw the movie Life of Pi recently. And it sort of tied into something I had been thinking about. But basically, for people that have not seen it, the one log line definition of this movie is a boy whose father was a zookeeper and taught him how to the secrets of animals gets stranded after a shipwreck on a lifeboat with a Bengal tiger, the most deadly animal.
Okay,
so to survive on this lifeboat with...
Let me interrupt you there because we have to take a break.
Okay.
But I think it's a perfect place. It's a cliffhanger. So
okay.
when we find whatever it is that brings the Bengal tiger to our ship, we want to talk about it and figure out how
exactly.
do we
okay.
handle that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is the
Sandy Brewer
show. Please stay tuned. You're going to love the second part.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If your loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Puts the steam in my head. Doesn't mean I'm over.
Welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're getting to the heart of what matters in your life, so give us a call, 800-930-2819, or go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask us a question in the instant feedback box. You know, MB, we just heard Kelly Clarkson's What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, and we're talking about Life of Pi and the Bengal Tiger and the ship. I think it all fits together.
Yeah, I can attest to some of those things in my own life, too, let me tell you. But you know, Sandy, when we were talking about Life of Pi, for those who have seen the movie or read the book, and I strongly recommend anyone see it, it's rich with symbolism and spirituality and everything. But again, the recap, for those who don't know, is a young boy in India who grows up, his father's a zookeeper, and teaches him the respect of how to care for animals, how to learn animals and learn their habits. And the boy feels that animals have a consciousness, and he gives a much more human quality to animals than his father does. But long story, the zoo sells, the family is transporting the animals across the Pacific Ocean to relocate in Canada, and the ship sinks. His whole family drowns, and the boy finds himself in a shipwreck at sea, and the only things that end up on the lifeboat, several animals do, but they die. He is on a lifeboat with the most fearsome creature of all, the Bengal tiger. And he can't escape the lifeboat because he's being circled by sharks. And so he has to learn how he's going to share this lifeboat and survive with this Bengal tiger, to whom he is food. So what struck me about it, and what really made me, again, this is rich with symbolism for me, but he comes down to the conclusion that to survive with this tiger in the lifeboat, he has to learn to communicate to this animal boundaries, that boundaries are the key to survival. Boundaries of what is yours and what is mine is like an initial boundary. Mm-hmm. Where do I leave off and you begin? How will I be treated by you? In other words, what am I willing to do for you? And with a tiger, again, this was his dilemma. This is not easy to communicate. You know, at one point he urinated on his turf, and then the tiger turned around and sprayed him. But eventually they did survive on the lifeboat. And what it made me think about was this whole process, and it kind of gets back to what I was saying about your first caller, mm-hmm. of communicating, and maybe it is the most important thing we can never communicate, our boundaries. Because I look at my own life and the simplest things. I had a very, very best girlfriend, and she passed away years ago. But we were very close, like sisters, and yet we went through a period near the end of her life where I was just always mad at her, and we didn't get along, and we talked behind each other's back. And finally, she's the one, to her credit, who came to me and said, "What is wrong? You know, why don't we love each other? What has happened to us?" And I told her, I said, "Because everything is you, you, you. It's all about you. All I do is listen to your problems, and you never ask about mine," and all these things spewed forth that I'd been feeling. And her answer to me was, "Well, I never knew you minded making it all about me. You know, you didn't tell me you minded it being all about me." And I thought, you know, this is so true. And for me in my own life, this has been a pattern of, you know, just of setting that boundary of here's where you leave off, here's where I begin, you know, here's what's mine, here's what's yours, and here's how I'll allow you to, how myself to be treated, which kind of ultimately defines us, which the guy, the boy in Life of Pi figured out, is that if I don't end up teaching this animal how I am demanding this wild animal to treat me, he's going to treat me like he thinks I expect to be treated, and that is to eat me. And so it's really, I just thought that movie was so deep and in its symbolism of that basic part of communication.
It really is. And if we look at it almost in a Jungian way of interpreting a dream, that on this boat, the tiger, it's all what if.
It's all you, right?
It's all you. And so the tiger is the part of him. It's almost like the troll under the bridge. It's that can eat him, that if we don't take charge of that part of us that gets reactive, that looks like it has so much power over us, that like fear, that it looks like that fear grows into this, in this case, the metaphoric Bengal tiger, you know, the top of the food chain. And it comes and it just keeps eating away and eating away, and it can destroy us. And it will take us into the most negative behavior, because instead of turning around like he did in the Life of Pi and facing the tiger and finding a way to be in charge anyway, that if we don't learn how to do that, then we're always going to be chased by fear or whatever it is that fear represents. And then we're going to fall into victim and or we're going to get eaten alive. At least that's the way
it's
going to feel.
And like him, life depends on it. I mean, he says in the book, the reason I was able to do it is that my life depended on it. It wasn't a choice I would have made otherwise ever. And he talks in there also about fear being the most deceptive of enemies. I mean, it's the most clever enemy there is, because, it comes
fear
in on you from every vulnerable angle that you have.
It does. Fear is like being at a masquerade party. It comes in one form, and you just barely recognize that costume, and you turn to the right, and it looks like you're dealing with a new dance partner, and you finally understand it's the same darn thing underneath the costume. It just it transforms itself. It metamorphosizes itself into the next picture, but it's all the same thing underneath it. So I think the idea of facing what's chasing us is really important. And the fact that his life depended on it is a great motivator. In my life, when I was in my later 20s, it was like I didn't start learning and healing because I thought it was a noble thing to do. That never occurred to me. The only thing that I was aware of was I could not live with the pain. The pain of what I had experienced as a kid was so consuming my life and my every thought, my every movement, that I just couldn't live with it anymore. So I wasn't trying to get well. I was just trying to find a way to live with the pain. And like with the Bengal tiger, there's no way to just live with that which is going to eat you alive. You have to find a way to work with it from a different point of view, to find
your
strength.
But how does that – go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell me.
No, I was going to say, Sandy, but then how does communication, tie into that healing? I mean, are you saying communication with yourself about the true source of your fear? Are you saying, communication with external people, in life, in your relationships, like Rebecca with her father or with people in their marriages? I mean,
I think
how does communication,
If you don't get the communication clear inside, you will not get the communication clear in your external world. So if I had tried to confront the people who had hurt me when I was still so totally screwed up internally, I could have confronted. I mean, I might have even been dangerous, you know, because I had so much back inside of me at that time. But I could have confronted, but it would not have been effective. It would not have been healing. It takes a lot of courage to understand. Let's go ahead to the the concept of communication. If I can't communicate in a clearer, more direct way, more loving way with me, I'm going to have a really hard time being able to do that with you. Now, life is not a straight line. So we do it a little bit internally, a little bit externally, and we just keep building, laying in building blocks and laying in a stronger platform on which we can stand. So if there's a situation that really doesn't strike us at that depth of the inner core of, like with Rebecca, clearly an old trauma. What I was, you know, with me, clearly old traumas that I was dealing with at that point in my life. If it just is somebody is not, somebody is crossing a line and I'm able to say, don't do that. That's the optimum, to just be able to say that's mm-hmm. not acceptable to me. What I find after, like, what, 38 years of practice, is that most of us have trouble doing that. In some situations, we can do that really, really well. But in other situations, right. there'll be that inner vulnerability, and we'll think, how can I be so strong and clear over in situation A and so completely namby-pamby in situation B?
Right.
It's because something about situation B connected to the metaphoric Bengal tiger inside of us. And when that right. happens, then we have to go deeper. But I think at the same time, we want to remember that it's not to let people just run over us externally. It's just, it's hard to do that without getting all defensive unless we have taken care of inside what has made us leak some power. But leaking power and how that connects with communication is something I would love to go into more with you when we return from this little break. Stay with us. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
Welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. Mary Beth, we have a question from the people that we gave a shout out to at the beginning of our show.
Oh, great.
In Dan Callahan's recovery group and in Boca Raton, Florida. And their question is a really good one. How do we set those boundaries? So we have
right.
that inner place of facing fear so that we can find that place upon which we can stand in order to take a stand, basically. And then how do we actually do that? So when we look at that, if we connect with being able to stand our ground to the thing that we thought had all this power over us, like in the Life of Pi, like the Bengal tiger, the thing that looked like it was bigger than us, that we are able to look it in the eye and insist with ourselves, even if we can't feel it, insist with it intellectually, that no circumstance, no situation is greater than the truth of all that I am. That's the bottom line, that I'm greater than the circumstance. If not, the Bengal tiger not only eats the boy, probably eats the lifeboat. My parents win, and anybody who's had trauma, they can't get through it. If you have an addiction, you can't get through it. So if you look that thing which has empowered you so much in the eye, and then you set the boundary of you can't have me anymore, and then pragmatically, remember, we can't convert knowledge or information into wisdom without the experience of it. That's why taking it out for a spin is really important. So if there is someone, let's say, I don't know, we're both moms, Mary Beth, so I hate to use moms as an example, but if, let's say that you have a mom or a dad or a partner, but we'll go with mom or a dad, that
right.
has always been controlling, like our caller, our first caller, Rebecca, that has always been controlling, that has always called the shots, that has always been disregarding of what you feel. Mom or dad do not have to change, but we have to be able to say no. The boundary has to come not from a place of defense or offense, but from that centered place that just simply is willing to draw the line in the sand. Now, sometimes what really is hard with that is you have to not make the relationship, whether it's with your mother, with your father, with your partner, with your boss, with your job, you can't give that relationship the power of a God. So when we decide to set a boundary, we actually are taking a risk. We're saying, I won't trade this. I will not trade your approval. I will not trade your telling me I'm okay. I will not trade anything for me. I just won't make that trade anymore. And when the Bengal tiger, the metaphoric Bengal tiger, is in control of us, we are always making a trade. So to be able to say to mom, I'm sorry if I can't please you here, but it's not my job to please you. It's my job. I'm 35. It's my job to be 35.
I think, Sandy, and I get what you're saying because it's true. And then I think that those little choices we can make, even if we start in baby steps, even if they are to say no to mom externally at first, can kind of define us for ourselves until we get stronger. I'm asking you. But it would seem to me that then in the end, those external choices and those things we make are just the first baby steps to our own healing. I mean, wouldn't that be true? Or, I mean, sets out, I guess what I'm talking about is degrees. Like everybody knows that you set a boundary if somebody, for example, physically hits you, or you set a boundary if someone cheats you, or you set a boundary. But what about the little ways that define us every day, where our boundaries are crossed in 100 ways and we don't do anything?
And you're absolutely right, that it takes the practice and it takes addressing the smaller things that to build momentum so that we can actually climb the mountain of our own journey and plant our flag at the top. So when we let somebody, if a parent lets a child call them names, or vice versa, the child doesn't have any choice, so vice versa isn't quite accurate. But if the parent takes on the role of thinking they have the right to call a child names, and then when that child gets to be 20 and says, you can't talk to me that way anymore, that those little steps, those things that say that is not okay, that crossed a line of what works for me. The thing is, you have to not get into changing the subject. You have to not get into arguing about why it's not okay. A boundary isn't a dialogue. A boundary mm-hmm. is a boundary. Do you know? So there's a
place. And that may break the relationship ultimately then, right?
That's why you have to be at risk. That's life doesn't happen when you're hugging the tree. Life happens when you're out on a limb and the wind is blowing in your face and you hear the branch creaking from the weight of your own body on it. That's where life happens. That's where things make a difference. And we have to have the confidence from just living life that even if the little branch breaks and we fall down, all that's going to happen is we'll float to the ground, we'll get up, we'll shake ourselves off, and we'll find another tree with a stronger branch. But we have to be willing to be at risk so that I don't let fear ever control me, that I want the excitement and
but
the exhilaration.
That's the hard part of living, right?
It actually is, but it's not like life is necessarily easy. I don't think it is.
It's supposed to be easy.
Exactly. Well, look at the Bengal tiger. That doesn't sound easy to me. You know?
Right. I'd rather be me than that guy, at least.
But I do think life is a hell of a ride, you know. So it's really
right.
worth taking. When we curl up and we get all, concave, and we just try to stay safe. We're not going to be staying safe. We're only going to stay in the familiar. And that kind of a familiar is going to make us feel less empowered, more victimized, more like we're at the whim of the situation, instead of being able to confront the tiger, confront the troll under the bridge, confront the fear, whatever it is, confront that part of me that is quaking. And if we wait until we're not feeling that anxiety in our gut before we take a proactive step on our behalf, not a reactive, but a proactive step on our behalf,
right.
The bottom line is none of us will do anything. So it's like we have to be willing to do that. And then to know that at the end of the day, it's sort of like the Life of Pi story, that we cannot be dependent on, does the other person say, oh, I'm so glad you brought this to my attention. Because in the Life of Pi, it worked out differently, didn't it?
Well, I thought it was like another beautiful part of this book is that when the boy finally survives and he's on the beach nearly dead, and the tiger, he's kept the tiger alive because to let the tiger die would have meant he had no purpose. The tiger jumps over him, sees the jungle, pauses, looks straight ahead in the jungle, but not back at the boy, and leaps off into his new life. And he said the saddest thing in life is not even saying goodbye.
And that's the truth. And speaking of goodbye, that's what we're doing right now. See you next week. Take care. Have a great week. Keep carrying that anger. It'll eat you up inside, baby. I've been trying to get down to the heart of the matter, but my will gets weak. And my thoughts seem to scatter, but I think it's about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Because the flesh will get weak.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.